start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. I am your host, Will Kuntz. How are you? I'm a little in the dumps. Got stood up on a date last night. Not really. I mean, she told me. She didn't just, like, not tell me, but she waited until after the arranged meeting time to tell me. And I knew it in my heart when I walked out the door that this was not going to happen. But I still went, and I live tweeted the event. So if you don't like me very much and you want to see me in agony or read about me being in agony, not really, I didn't really care. Honestly, I didn't care. But it was fun. So go follow me on Twitter, home_made_man. You can find everything there. Don't forget to like the Facebook page, facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast. All one word there. On Instagram, home_made_man. I feel like I should be making separate accounts because these are all my personal accounts, but it all kind of runs together. This has kind of become my life anyways, and my life is pretty public. I don't mind sharing my mistakes and my downfalls of being a human being. I'm for all full transparency of being alive. So feel free to join me on this really lackluster journey that we are on here. Or that I am on. And join me, will you? There's lots of things that you can laugh at about my life. So check out hmbradio.com to keep up with events. We have the open mic this Tuesday, October 13th at Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue. $50 cash prize to the best comedian of the night. 50 bones. I don't know of any open mic that does that. And that's courtesy of Sly Bar. Thank you very much to them. Come find out why Creative Loafing Tampa gave us a Best of the Bay Award for the open mic at Sly Bar. It is entitled, The Best Place to Watch Comedians Get Better. And I couldn't agree more in their judgment. It is a lot of fun. There's free pizza from our friends at Angelo's. And it's delicious, and people enjoy it. So you can get fed. You can come watch some comedy. It's all free if you've ever wanted to try comedy. Fantastic place to start there at Sly Bar every second and fourth Tuesday of the month. And this podcast is brought to you by those same people. Find out why I love the Berg has named Sly Bar one of the top 15 businesses to watch in 2015. Miraculous people there, Joe and Lauren, the owners of that establishment. Terrific guys, been very supportive of us here at the show, or me. I'm the one behind the show. Try to act like there's more people here. There's not. It's just me. Producing, editing, everything, all me. That's why it's called the Homemade Broadcast. See that? Yeah, that's right. So go visit them, even if there's not an open mic. 2061 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg. And Angelo's, saintpizza.com is their website. The best URL in the world, as far as I'm concerned. If there was a Best of the Bay Award for best URL, Angelo's, you'd win it hands down, my friends. 536 First Avenue North. They are open late all the time, so you can go visit them. If you're boozed up and you need a slice of pizza or a sub, that is a great option for you. They're one of the few places that are open. I think, like, every day of the week, they're open until 3 o'clock in the morning. So make sure you go visit them, 536 First Avenue North, saintpizza.com. Thank you very much for being supporters of the Homemade Broadcast. And hey, if there's anybody listening out there who owns a business that would like to advertise with Radio St. Pete or become a sponsor of the Homemade Broadcast, shoot me an email. We're growing exponentially all the time. Our listening hours are up huge, and it's a good time because it's really an affordable advertising source as compared to other media outlets out there. So email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. You will not regret it. Help us keep the lights on. Help get some more people into your shops or your restaurants, your bars, whatever you're doing. You know, you got to get some people in there, and we can help you do that, I believe. So, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. That would be terrific. Hope to hear from you and all that. So, today on the program, we have Cigar City Comedy's Chris Mattson. Chris did the show with us, the first showcase I put on in February of this year at Sly Bar. Fathom that. He just called, so he's here. So let's get Chris Mattson in right here on the phone, or not on the phone, in person, right now, Chris Mattson. All right, Chris Mattson, I don't know what happened just now because the phone rang, and I don't know if that's going to be heard audibly on the podcast or not, but we will find out. But welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me, Will.
I appreciate you coming in. Just left Coconuts Comedy Club, did a set down there. How did that go?
It was terrible. But
really?
There was like eight people, and they were very quiet. But they were nice. I guess it was all right. Worked out some new stuff.
That's connected to like a Holiday Inn or something, right?
No, that's not it anymore. It's connected to a bar, which is even better than a Holiday Inn. But it's on St. Pete Beach, Silas Dens area.
There's not a hotel there?
There used to be back in like, I don't know, the 80s.
Oh, okay.
But and probably like 10 years ago. They've moved around to three places.
Because that was the spot for, like, comedy clubs.
Yeah.
You put them in motels on the beach because people, if it was raining or something like that, then they could go to the clubs.
Anything, yeah. Yeah. Keep the comics there. Make sure they showed up.
I don't know how Coconut stays open.
I don't know. They just find places and they're able to do it, so.
So I guess they kind of have mid-range comics come through there, though.
They have actually some good ones. Billy Gardell was just there.
He was in the club?
He did it.
He did the Mahaffey. I know that.
Yeah.
Danny Bevins.
After he did the Mahaffey, he went to Coconuts and did that. And then Daryl Lennox, who just did Conan. They get people, but not as mainstream as, like, you know,
the improv or something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some. So they get people. It's just more off beaten path, kind of.
You know what? Is Bob okay? I heard he was not doing well.
His son wasn't.
His son wasn't.
Yeah,
okay.
Bob's good.
Bob's okay.
Yeah, yeah. His son wasn't. Something happened. He's fine now.
He's fine
now. He just had
like
a medical issue, I guess, from what I saw on Facebook.
I talked to Kyle one day. Kyle called me.
Yeah.
Kyle Roos. And he was, I thought he said Bob. And I was like, oh no,
bummer. I think he was just messed up because his son was, you know, in the hospital. So
he made it sound like he was on his last legs.
No.
And like it was going to be a big deal.
No, no. Maybe for his kid, but Bob's good.
Okay, well, that's definitely good to hear.
He'll always hang out, so.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I like that guy. I met him once.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, man. He'll put you up, too, if you, you know, go out there and do some. On Tuesdays, they do open mics, and they do a writing session on Wednesday.
Yeah, I was supposed to get out there for Danny's thing. I've been so busy with, like, this stuff that I haven't really had any time to, like, free time.
I mean, they have it all the time, so you can show up whenever you have free time.
Yeah, and then the open mics kind of run into mine, but mine's only every other week.
Yeah, so, at Sly Bar.
Sly Bar,
Fun show.
Best of the Bay winning open mic.
Yes,
yeah,
and it deserves that.
Thank you.
Because it is the only open mic I have been to where the crowd is 100% receptive of the comics on stage.
That's true.
Have you done the improv on Wednesday nights?
I have once. I've done it a couple times, but once
recently.
It is really.
You know, I did it for a year straight before they actually put me up, and every comic is deterred from it, and rightfully so. The stage is 7 feet in the air,
yeah,
and everybody's angry at you. But do it, and if you can do that room, you can do any room.
It's an interesting spot, the improv. What I like about the improv is that it is a very diverse crowd, meaning you got black people, you got gay people, you got white people, you got Chinese people. Every other people is there, right? But I also noticed It's like parting of the Red Sea. You have the black people on one side and the white people on the other. It's very odd.
Yeah. I think mainly because they're drunk and it's after the show, which makes it even more challenging because they just watched a show. It's over. They're drunk. And then they're sitting in a bar and you got a bunch of comics yelling at them. So it makes it even more challenging for them to be like, who are these people? I just want to buy a $10 beer.
Yeah. You know? That's all I want right now. Please let me buy that beer.
It's super challenging. But if you could do that room, you could do any room on the planet. Mm-hmm. Really, you can. But I understand the aversion a lot of people have to it. I won't do it anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go back. No. But,
I mean, it's good. Builds thick skin.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's terrible.
So you are with Cigar City Comedy. You are a stand-up comedian, of course, as we're talking about comedy. So how did you get synced up with the Cigar City folks?
Just doing shows all over the Bay Area. Law Smith heads that up with David Weingarten, and everybody kind of pitches in and does, you know, helps out promoting shows, find new venues, things like that, because it's becoming, you know, Law, I believe, was in Los Angeles for a while, and he saw, like, the, you know, the cohesion a lot of comics had together. It was like a community, and that Tampa lacked. So he created Cigar City to bring comics together, bring shows together, where everybody can, instead of doing the competition, the petty stuff back and forth, where you're trying to open an open mic and then you're bashing another comic's open mic, which was happening a lot. So he brought everybody together as kind of a community to, you know, get everyone working together, help each other out, basically.
Now, I'm pretty new to the comedy scene as far as putting on shows and stuff like that. Now, I started when I was 18, maybe did it for a year, and then went to college and worked. And now I'm kind of coming back into it. But I feel like over the past year that things have really been picking up here in Tampa.
Too. Yeah,
good. I'm glad that you noticed that. Because
especially in St. Pete, which has a great spot for comedy, but there is not a lot of it. It doesn't seem – your Sly Bar is the only thing that I have seen last longer than a month or 2 months because there's always been rooms coming in and out, especially in St. Pete, which I don't know why it doesn't last.
I do.
Why?
Because they're run by strictly just comedians, and probably. They don't promote.
No,
that's
they
why.
Don't. That's 100% very accurate. It's tough to promote a show and yourself at the same time.
It is not, though.
I
do all my promotions. I get it done in 1.5 hour.
Yeah.
And it's all done.
I'm not speaking on the – I think mentally for me it's tough to put myself out there, promote myself, and then do – somebody, I don't know. I think I just...
I know what you mean.
It seems self-serving.
Yes.
It does. 100%, which is why I kind of... I'll help promote a show. I just don't like to do it.
Yeah. No, I totally understand that. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's just, unfortunately, one of those things that you have to
do. Oh, yeah. Especially in this day and age, you have to promote yourself. You have to put everything out there. 100%.
Yeah. And if people don't like it, then the good thing is if they're on your friends list, they'll just delete you.
It.
That's
exactly.
It. And then you're done.
Always is good for the ego.
That's right. That's right. So how long have you been performing comedy?
8 years. 8 years. February 28, 2008 is when I started doing stand-up.
That's 8 years already? Oh, my God. It's 2016. 2008 feels like it's about to be
7 years. So yeah, it's 7 years I've been doing stand up. Yeah.
2008 doesn't seem like that long ago.
I know, right, dude?
I don't know what's happening. How old are you?
30.
Yeah, me
I graduated
too.
03. Yeah.
Where did you go to school?
Lakewood High.
Okay.
Where'd you go?
Largo.
I had a friend, Chris Carton. I don't know, maybe. But
maybe
that's the only person I know from Largo.
Yeah, I didn't really talk to anybody in school.
That's how I was. I mean, I had friends, but I hated high school.
I had a lot of acquaintances.
Yeah.
But so you were kind of like a wallflower, or did you read
pretty much
class clown?
No, I was never the class clown. Really introverted until senior year. I kind of started breaking out. It's because, you know, you hook up with a girl and you get all sorts of confidence. So
yeah, does do things. That didn't happen to me till after high school.
Well, yeah, but I had a lot of friends that were like that as well.
But you're absolutely right. When that happens to you finally, when you engage with a lady, it's a whole new
engage
world.
Engage with a lady, I like that.
It's a whole
it's
new.
It is, man. You feel like you could tackle the entire world and take it on. So yeah, and then after that, Yeah, I didn't start until I was 23 doing stand-up, which I think is a good age, right?
Yeah, I think so. I
see
feel
some
like...
comics that are like 17, 18. You're like, you're good.
Oh, I see them. I see them.
You're
all the
good,
time,
but
yeah.
You know, you haven't lived enough.
Yeah, you don't have the experience
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, exactly.
I always bring this up, but I think it's a very valid point or knowledge point, anyways, that your brain doesn't finish connecting the neurons all the way until you're about 26.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's when you were a complete person.
I've heard that, yeah.
And, yeah, before that, it's all.
Before
it's all
that,
nonsense.
You're just a bunch of neurons that haven't connected.
Yeah, you're a mess. You don't know what's going on.
Speaking garbage.
That's why, like, all the kids now that are, like, on the internet with, like, the social justice warriors, they're all, like, you know, 18, 19 years old that want to control the world.
I can't buy into that stuff. It's all fake to me. You
it
know?
Is. I'm obsessed with it. I
can't help looking at it either because it makes me so angry.
Yes.
And I still go back to it where I'm like, God dang it, I hate these people.
Let me
see what they're writing about now.
Yeah, I got
to
look.
You know, you have to.
There's this author, Milo Yiannopoulos, I think his name is. Yeah. He writes for Breitbart, which is kind of like a more of a right conservative rag type of thing. But he's the best because he's a gay British guy.
Yeah.
And he's pretty flamboyant, and he's a little conservative, but he takes on these social justice warrior types, and they really can't, it's hilarious, because they'll call him, like, you know, pretty bad slurs.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, and it's just hilarious, because they are railing against this stuff, but yet they'll show their true selves, you know, in this setting.
Oh, of course, because they just want, I don't even know what the reasoning behind half of what they're fighting for.
I don't know either.
I don't get it. It's just this desire to want to be a part of something, I think.
Yeah, I think that's part of
it. And also, it's also self-serving to an extent. Like, look what I'm doing. I'm a good person because I wrote 140 characters about how I'm against this one thing or for this one thing.
I think you touched on something there, and it is that people are good and they want to do right, meaning they feel guilty for certain injustices. So they want to try to make up for everything at once and just push everything so far one way to try to be nice.
Yeah.
It means they do it because they feel like they're doing the right thing because they don't want to, they want everybody to be equal and they want this equality for everyone. Everyone should be accepted.
So they want to force it.
They want to force it, right? And it's
which is counterproductive.
Dude, I'm so glad I'm not on a college campus right now.
Yeah. You ever see PCU with Jeremy Piven?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that all over again, dude.
It is so bad.
I can't speak to kids that age. Number one, you can't because they're so, like, I can't tell if they just want to be nerdy. You know that whole trend?
Yeah.
Where it's like, they're doing it because it's the popular thing to do.
Glasses without lenses of them.
Without the lenses. Yes. And then, you know, just this forced, awkward, it's just talk like a normal human being. You don't have to put that act on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's just, and then you try to speak to them, and then you can't say anything because, number one, they'll act like they're offended.
Yeah.
Or you just can't get a word out of them at all. And it's frustrating. I couldn't do it. I feel bad for anybody in college.
Well, it's like super, I don't know where you stand politically. I'm kind of in the middle. I'm kind of a moderate, I would say.
Yeah, I think I did one of those stupid BuzzFeed tests where they tell you, you know, but I think I'm more to the left.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in a household with two staunch Republicans, and I can't.
See, I had kind of, my parents were divorced. My dad was conservative. My mom was liberal.
That's usually how it is. My mom was liberal, and then at some point in my life, she went back to where my dad, on the super right, like Rush Limbaugh books all over the house, you know, conservative. So I think that's why I lean a little more left.
They say the older you get, the more conservative you get.
I believe that, and the more things that you get. And right now I'm broke, so I'm totally a Democrat.
Yeah.
But I'm listed independent, so I don't have any affiliation on paper.
I voted for Gary Johnson. Last time, the libertarian guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I felt shysted by Obama from the first time.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to vote for, who's Mitt Romney?
I couldn't do that. That's 100. I could not do Mitt Romney at all. So I was like, you know, you pick the lesser two evils. I was discussing that with my wife. Like, what's coming up in this next election? My whole thing has been, let's pick the lesser of two evils.
That's what everybody, but it's terrible.
What
it's a terrible way to look at it.
I know it is, but, and it's a terrible thing that that I do, you know, but
everybody does. I will happily,
every single person does, yeah.
Happily throw my vote away. I don't care at all,
just
because
don't do it,
I don't feel like either one of those people is going to represent me.
Yeah.
They're all bought and paid for type of thing. So.
It really is. And then everybody tries to sit there and say that Trump is his own self-funded, so he's not going to be bought. I don't believe that for 1 minute.
I do.
You do?
I do believe that. Because
I think he needs the influence because he's so crazy. He needs somebody to give him some money to be like, dude, we're going to give you this money, but you're going to stop saying these things
I didn't know that he was so rich, though. I thought he filed for bankruptcy
a
couple of years ago.
Like two or three times, I guess.
And the conspiracy with Trump is that Bill Clinton urged him to run.
Really?
And
probably on
friends.
A joke
yes.
when he was stoned. Like, all right, man, go. I can't do a Bill Clinton.
That was pretty
Bill
good.
Clinton impression.
That sounded pretty good.
From the 90s, dude, as a comic. But that's probably what happened. He's probably just stoned into home. Yeah, go run, dude.
And I heard that Bernie Sanders
yeah.
is going to leave the party and run as an independent now. So that's going to throw.
He is Republican?
He is a
Democrat.
He's a socialist, like
social.
Borderline yeah. communist.
He's a communist.
Yeah, he's a commie, man.
See, I don't know too much about politics. We're a socialist and communist.
I think he calls himself a democratic socialist.
Democrat. This is too much, man.
It
Let's
is.
Just focus on education and not wars, and I'll be okay on that one.
I'm okay with that, man.
Yeah.
After
watching Fahrenheit 9/11, I'm like, I don't know, dude. I don't like Michael Moore, but he makes a good point about
Michael Moore is the worst.
He really is great. Now, man.
I did like
Bowling. He gets a little bit of confidence, and look at that, man.
There's always I don't know what to believe anymore though, because I read up on this stuff. I want to try to be smart, but I'm just not smart. So I try and I try to look up this stuff, and then I'll look up, I have this bit of knowledge now in my head, and then I can find something to completely take that away and say, nope, it's wrong. You can skew numbers. You can make numbers say whatever you want them to, and I don't know if truth exists at this point anymore.
I kind of agree.
To that point.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody does what you do. They want to find a point. They go online and they find something that supports it, and then they spit at everybody.
Oh, but they put that immediately. They find the thing that they're
clicking.
Everyone is very eager to have an opinion about something.
It really is.
They don't want to take the time, maybe do some research. They just automatically spout it out.
Yeah. And what's great is those fake videos about things that supposedly happen, like the dad catching his daughter with a guy, so he does something. It's those Upworthy videos that people believe, and you can tell it's produced. It has cuts, like, and these people are like, "This, did you see that video of the dad saving the daughter from getting, you know, rape?" I don't. Can we say that?
I guess.
You know, like, I'm like, dude, it's totally fake. Like,
yeah.
But people buy into it, and I think it's terrible, and I think it's regressing society.
I think you should save politics talk for podcasts, but more so for the bars.
Yeah,
you can have a few drinks, talk with your buddies, and the ballot boxes, and let it go there, because I don't feel like you're only gonna get praise from people who agree with you via thumbs up on Facebook, or you're gonna alienate some of your friends.
Yeah, I block people
because
of their crazy rants. When the whole thing happened with the gay marriage thing, holy Lord, I blocked, I think, two or three people.
Like, see, that's kind of
sad.
And
when my dad passed away, people were posting on his pictures. One guy was like, "I hope, was your dad religious?" And I was like, I didn't respond. And he responded back with, "Because if he was, he's in a better place now." And that, like, alluding to the fact that if he wasn't, so I'm just like, screw this guy. And I just kind of deleted him. And he found me again under another profile. So I just ended up, like, having to block him. It's weird, dude. Could they?
Yeah. You know what I'm noticing, too, is I see a lot of people on Facebook that are just like, yeah, this guy said something I didn't like, and screw him. Yeah. He's gone. Deleted.
Yeah.
I feel like that's really a bad way to do things, because you're only going to...
It depends
on... Yeah. Let's talk.
The whole thing with my dad thing, I'll block that guy 100 times over again. But the whole thing, like what you're saying, like, oh, I differ from this person's view, I'm going to block them. I think, yeah.
That's if it's a personal, it's a little different.
Personal, screw you. But if it's a, you know, a difference in a political view and you block them, yeah, I think it's a power thing where you're like kind of in your head, you're like, screw that guy.
That's what a lot of the social justice warriors will do is that I see there's a subreddit called Tumblr in Action, which is really good. You should check it out. You'll see some insane things.
Oh, I love it.
But one of the ones I saw today was a young lady who she probably was like, you know, a teenager, I'm guessing. But she hashtagged feminism and all this stuff and saying that she didn't agree with her mom. I guess her mom grounded her.
Yeah.
That you can't keep a goddess in a cage.
Because
and that she's worse than men. And I was just like, wow. And then she said,
can't keep a goddess in a cage.
Yes, that's what she believes. And
that
that's,
is psychopathy, right?
Yeah, yes, yeah, I think so. But everyone's special little snowflakes now here in this new world. It's crazy. But and then she said, and I won't debate the argument that I am a goddess. So don't. So
who is she debating it with? Everybody that she posted on Reddit?
I guess on Tumblr. Yeah.
On Tumblr?
I don't know how to work Tumblr.
And I won't debate that I'm a goddess.
And that's what. But
that is completely like the dark triad. You ever heard that statement in psychology?
No.
It's like narcissism, Machiavellianism, and then psychopathy. And that encapsulates it. I'm not going to debate you on how I'm an entity.
It's crazy.
That's insane. But and she probably believes it.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure she does. Absolutely. And everybody and a lot of people, you know, are like, yes, you're absolutely right. And then they hear that they're right on the internet.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say was is that that is the argument now. The argument, they won't attack. They'll always attack your character.
Yeah.
Or the straw man. They'll attack you as a person that's arguing with them. And then they will not. Their argument is, I'm not explaining my argument. I'm right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's as far as it goes at that point.
Yeah. It becomes a statement versus an actual open discussion.
A fact.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I have been proven innocent
it's
by me.
It's written in stone.
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. But that's how it is now. I can't do it. And, you know, it's affecting everything. Comedy clubs now, it's affecting.
Really? Tell me
because
about that.
Because it's so easy to go on. Like, I had a video posted through Comedy Time TV. And it was the first time, like, it had been, like, they also take that, put it on YouTube, they put it on different mediums, like, it was actually on a television channel, so somebody sent me a picture of that. It was a huge deal for me, but it was also on YouTube, and it was on a big platform to where the comments, I won't read another comment on YouTube ever again on one of my videos. I will just block it. I can't. It's just the most hateful stuff I've ever heard in my life that had no relation to anything that I was saying at all. So that ease to be able to type a comment on a video is starting to come into comedy clubs where people don't agree with what you're saying or don't like what you're saying, so immediately dismiss it and either speak out or start talking to their friends or just completely become disengaged to where it's disruptive. Before, it was hecklers. They're just drunk, loud, whatever. Now it's the, you know, the lady or the dude that I don't agree with that, and here's why. Mm-hmm. Instead of just like shutting up and let me do jokes.
Yeah.
And it's real. Another comic was the one, I can't even take that observation as my credit. He was discussing it, and I see it more and more every day that I do a set where, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but it definitely is happening now a lot.
Chris Mattson from Cigar City Comedy is joining me on the Homemade Broadcast today, talking the state of comedy through this new digital age that we live in. I think this thing started when Twitter came around. That's when it really started to take shape.
Yeah.
Because you were able to directly reach somebody on the other end, celebrity.
And
you know,
not have to do anything.
Yeah.
You join, you have an email and a password, and you could say whatever you want. And
anonymously, too.
Anonymously, if you wanted to, but you don't have to have the capability to go and actually achieve something and do something if you wanted to be heard. Now, I'm not dismissing anybody that's on Twitter that made a lot of money. That's fascinating to me that people make millions of dollars doing that, especially on YouTube, which I'm just now finding out that people get paid a lot for that.
Yeah, that's some people's jobs. They just make YouTube videos.
And it is enraging. It really is. You know, you go out and do sets for 8 years and still make $50 a show. But, hey, it's fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, but now they could just do it from home.
Well, and remember, I guess there was even looking up an email address was too much for some people. Like back in the day, you would have to go get a piece of paper and you would get a pen and you would, okay, I'm going to write my letter and get my grievances out. And I think a lot of those people, by the time they wrote it down,
they were done.
They were like, oh, I feel better now.
Yeah. It was cathartic. And they were like, you know what? All right.
Exactly. So even if they got to the point where they're like, I'm still mad, okay?
You're not mad enough to mail a letter.
Now, where the hell do I send this letter to?
Right.
They didn't have
just
Google back
the
then.
Envelope angrily.
Yeah.
Put the stamp on it.
Jam it in the mailbox. Yeah. So most people did not do that. And then even emails, I think, too, is the same thing.
Yeah,
you get to
the
type
thing.
It out. But now we're in this 140 characters.
It's impulsive.
Yes, very, very much so. And I feel like that was kind of when this really started taking shape, this new movement.
Yeah. You could see that because some people will have meltdowns and then your Twitter feed is just filled with, you know, 2 and 3 sentences.
Every celebrity is always like, oh, I get terrible every day. But the majority of things that are sent to me are just awful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've asked, you know, if I work with a comic that's, you know, a little famous or on the, you know, in the public eye. Like, I'll ask them, I'll be like, how do you deal with it? I just don't read it.
Yeah, you
like,
can't.
I can't because you could sit there and they'd say, like, I've done it before where I'll read it and then you do, like, 4 hours go by and it's just, it's counterproductive where you're like, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Like, the same thing with the YouTube video comments that I was saying, I won't do it again.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, it's just not worth it.
No, it's not.
You were telling me when you came in here, I have an autographed photo of Mike Birbiglia.
Mike Birbiglebug.
And you said that he was the first comic to ever throw you off a show.
Yes. He fired me. He was the only comic. He was doing my girlfriend's boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
the big theater run, and he was doing the improv. I don't know why he was doing it. Maybe just to fire me. That's how I feel. But he even said in the beginning of the week, the booker at the improv was like, he doesn't want an opener, but we're going to give him an opener. Just come in and on Thursday. So Thursday, we did the show, and he's like, you know, don't intro me. Just walk off the stage, and I'll walk on. And I'm like, okay. So I did my set. I brought up the feature. And then after the feature, I was like, okay.
See,
just walked off. Yeah, just bye. And so it was super awkward, and he just kind of moseyed his way on stage because that's the way he liked it. And it really worked, but it would have done, you know, would have done better without me. And I understand why he fired me, but it was still annoying. You know, 7:30 the next day in the morning on the way for him to impress, the booker for the improv called me like, hey, we're going to give you a different week. Mike doesn't want you on the show. And I could hear him in the background going, just tell him I don't need him on the show. Don't say anything about his act. And I was like, oh, man, that hurt. Because I was a fan. I'm still a fan of him.
Yeah,
and I get why he fired me. But
it just wasn't – he didn't want it.
Exactly.
You know?
And it wasn't conducive to what he wanted out of a show. And that's what it means. It's the headliner show. He gets what he wants. I totally get it, but it was still – it still hurts.
Sure, yeah.
6 years
later. But you're still surviving. You're moving
exactly.
on.
Yeah, exactly.
That was 2 years? You already had that gig?
I had 2 years. I was at improv, yeah.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah, I did a year, and I was doing open mics. And then, like I said, I did that open mic at the improv for a year, 1 year straight. Every Wednesday I was there. I did not miss a day. And then finally they started giving me the main room, guest spots, and then eventually hosting, and then I featured a couple off nights, and then they'll give you weekends, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are you still working with them?
Yeah, I was just there with somebody, Brad Williams.
Oh, okay.
And
Dwarf Comic?
Yeah,
yeah.
And he's really funny guy. And then Pete Davidson, that was this year.
He's on SNL.
SNL, and he just got into it.
Is
with,
he black? What is he?
He is Italian, I think. Like I thought he was a black guy too, but I think he's a white guy because he does a bunch of white guy jokes.
But he has like
white.
I know what he looks like. I think.
I think he's just like really
he looks
Italian.
Like a albino black guy.
Yeah, he does.
His hair.
He's a white guy. Yeah.
His hair kind of looks. You know.
He had a hat on the whole time.
But the Moors did invade Sicily.
Yeah.
So
good scene.
He's probably he's
true
got a
romance.
In him.
Yeah, true romance.
Yeah.
Well, cantaloupe.
So what are you doing this like for your full-time job or?
I'm a cook. I was doing stand-up for a long time, like 2 years on the road, and I was making enough at a doing that. It was enough. It was like a part-time job for me, so I worked 3 months out of the year at City Pools because I was a lifeguard, so I did like cashiering, and then the rest of the year I just did stand up, and then I stopped doing that because I got a drinking problem, and so I had it's bad. We're nearing Roswell, Georgia, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, crying, drinking in your hotel room. You're like, you know what? I gotta change this up.
Yeah.
So I'm working now full time, and then getting back into stand up as far as traveling and stuff. I'll be in Fort Myers actually next week at Laughing, featuring.
Do you know where the address of that?
I don't. It's Fort Myers. So
what is it called?
Laughing Comedy Cafe.
Let's look it up.
And I think I'm with Frankie Paul, who I've worked with before, and he's an awesome guy.
That is 8595 College Parkway,
yeah.
Fort Myers.
It's a great club.
Phone number 239-479-5233. Chris Mattson and who else?
Frankie Paul's the headliner.
Frankie Paul.
Yeah, I don't know who the opener is.
Well, that's cool, man. You're still getting around, doing your thing, getting back into it.
Yeah, still doing it, man.
I was supposed to go down to Fort Lauderdale with Kyle.
And do Florida's Funniest?
No. He had just had like a bar gig there.
He just did it this week.
Yeah.
With James Bailey.
James Bailey at Silas took my spot.
Yeah, Roos is the man. He's my favorite.
He's a hard worker, man. I love hanging out with him. He's so fun to hang out with, but he gets me into trouble.
I bet,
time.
Man.
Yeah.
He's great, man. I still do, but when I was drinking, I used to hang out with him a lot. And Greg Maxwell, have you met him?
I actually started comedy with Greg Maxwell.
Greg Maxwell is my favorite. I wish he did comedy more.
I don't think he does it anymore, does he?
He doesn't really. And every now and again, he'll host a show, and I just love every moment that he's on stage.
He is my favorite. He had this joke about have you ever heard of the Teen Wolf
bit?
It's hilarious. And then he doesn't wash his fruit and vegetables.
What?
Because he likes the taste of Mexican hands. It's like hard work.
Dude, that's what I love about him,
it's
man.
It's one of the best jokes I've ever heard in my life. And
his opening line, I don't want to sound like an a-hole, but that silliness
takes you off
and that guard. Freedom on stage, I just admire and love at the same time.
Yeah, I liked him as a comedian, and I was 18, and he got hooked up because my friend Adam, who used to co-host a show with me, started doing comedy, and I wanted to do it too.
Yeah.
So it was him, Greg Errol Johnson.
Yeah.
Mike Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
And they were doing this thing Under the Influence, and Adam kind of was like, come on, we'll take you in, and the other guys weren't too embracive of me. So I would host shows for them at Boomers and stuff like that. That's kind of how I got started in Seminole.
Remember Boomers.
Yeah,
I did an open mic contest there when I was a rapper in high school.
No kidding.
And I won $100 for winning.
Dang.
It was terrible.
That's
awesome.
I can't
believe I did that. But yeah, I used to do that when 8 Mile came out. Me and all my friends wanted to be rappers. And one of my friends actually did it for a long time. He was a producer, and he produced a lot for people. But I was not. I was terrible.
Gave it up. Knew when to hang them up.
Really
your
quick.
Neurons and your brain formed.
Yeah, exactly. I just stopped. It was terrible. I hated it.
Yeah, so I started with Greg. I love Greg. I don't know what he's doing. He seems like now he's like, he was kind of this like aggressive guy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now he's like an old man at this point.
I don't know. I haven't seen him.
Yeah, I don't know either. Really.
I saw him last year we were doing a show at FUBAR.
Mm-hmm.
And he was hosting.
I was supposed to do that one, too.
You should have been there. Greg was Greg, and it was fantastic.
I was covering the Gasparilla Music Festival.
Oh, that's right, dude. I do remember that.
Yeah.
You were supposed to be there.
I had to drop out at the last minute.
Yeah, I just did the FUBAR again last week, and that was fantastic.
Is it good? Because
it
was
good.
This
is the first time it's been really good where people listened, and they weren't in the background screaming and yelling. And
that crowd is crazy.
It's fun, though.
It's like it seems like it's like you're going to craft services on the set of Mad Max. The dudes have shoulder pads with spikes on them.
Spikes coming out, the fingerless gloves.
Big beards.
Yeah.
And then there's always like trashy, like hot chicks all around.
Yeah, that's true.
It is fun, but they were doing like dart competitions.
Yeah, and they were doing that there when we were there. And they were yelling and screaming, but when we went on stage, we went a little bit later than what we should have, and I think that helped. Because the sound guy like kind of held it for a minute,
mm-hmm.
Well, actually probably like 15, 20 minutes. And then when we went on stage, they were just quiet. They were nice.
It's nice to see, man. It seems like now in St. Pete, every day almost, I want to say, there's some sort of comedy event happening. There's something happening at 662
pretty soon. I think Kyle's doing it with Preston, right? The guy from Jackass?
I don't know about that. I saw the poster and I didn't recognize anybody. Okay. So
well,
maybe
I know Kyle's doing something next month there.
Yeah. So yeah. That's happening, and then Moscato's does a thing now in the basement.
That's a great room.
Have you done that one?
Yeah.
No.
It's got the old school mic. You feel like a lounge singer.
Oh, really?
You know the old condenser looking mic.
Yeah, they're like metal and they
got the grooves. And it was fun. I've done it twice. So.
And is that so once a month?
I don't know who's doing it anymore. I would assume so.
Who started it?
Chris Higgins, and then he went to
Chicago. Yeah.
So he gave it off to somebody. I think one of his friends, but then I think one of his friends left town too. So I don't know who's doing it.
And then there's
if you're listening, I'll do it again. That's how I get shows.
I just post everything in the Tampa Bay comedy
page.
That's where I keep up with everything.
Yeah, I got to go on there. Sometimes they're, you know.
It's chaos in there.
It's chaotic, man. People complain and then.
There was one that I had to leave. Like, I left the group. It was Tampa Bay Comedy, and then there was Tampa Bay Comedy, something else.
Yeah.
And one of them I had to leave because I was like, this is.
It's too much.
Too much. And there really wasn't any. It was just people like, hey, come out to this show, $10.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not the venue for that.
You're not going to promote for other comics to come out to other comic shows.
Comics don't
other
go to
comics
comedy shows.
Are trying to get on stage.
Exactly. If you have a spot, that's different.
Yeah.
But if you're just like, hey, come check out my show, bro, $10.
Yeah.
$10, first of all, you got a lot of nerve.
Yeah.
$10 for a local comic?
Yeah.
That's why I keep everything free, man.
Yeah.
I want people to come. I don't want to discourage. Yeah. Even, like, I've had things, I don't know if you've ever walked into a bar and they'd be like, $3 cover.
Yes.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not for me.
There's a bar downtown that does that.
Emerald does that sometimes.
Oh, I didn't want to say it, but.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah, that's cool. Well, they do. I mean,
they do because, you know, it makes sense because they have bands there and everything like that. But I like the free thing. I understand why people charge. Initially, they started to do it. I know historically it's just to keep the riffraff out a lot of times, but also to make money. The free shows, though, I've always had fun.
It's the way to go for comedy. People don't like comedy. We did the Amsterdam. JT Habersat came in.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was supposed to do that, and then Barsness called me up day of show, 1 hour, the owner was canceling because of the hurricane.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we had people, I think they were charging five. I think it was $5. It really wasn't even. And the JT's a traveling comic. Like he's hooked up with Stanhope and everything. And we figured it would be a good turnout. People were like, nah, $5. And then like some people reluctantly went in.
Yeah.
And Brian Ziola, who was one of the comics there, he overheard a couple talking about how much they hated comedy.
Yeah.
Literally having a conversation about how much they hate.
You know why?
Comedy.
Full circle. Digital. They can find it online. Why spend $5?
That's true.
When you can YouTube it.
I feel like music, too. Music you can kind of pay attention to very loosely, meaning you can have conversations and whatever. But comedy, you kind of have to pay attention.
Yeah. Like a lounge singer, you can just hang out, talk with your friend. There's no lounge comic who's just casually doing jokes.
Yeah.
But that's how I felt today because the crowd did not respond well.
So, it's a Wednesday night, correct?
Yeah, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But they were a nice crowd, just polite, just sat there and smiled.
Hey, do you want to stay for a little while and we'll do an extended, uncensored little podcast?
For sure, man.
All right, so let's wrap this one up. Give out your social media and all that so people can find you.
I am at Krobin Atson.
That is a terrible Twitter handle, by the way.
It's terrible. I know it is. I do it so people don't find me because I want less followers. But you can search Chris Mattson, and it's Chrobinatson. See how complicated that is? I don't even know.
It's really complicated.
I'm going to change it. It was Chris Mattson Comedy, but I hate the whole comedy thing in Twitter. So, and then I'll be in Fort Myers, but I'm also a lot dropping in doing sets at Coconuts on St. Pete Beach. Check out CigarCityComedy.com, and we got a bunch of shows coming up there.
All right. Cool, man. Thanks for coming in. We're going to check out the iTunes RSS feed for extra Chris Mattson. Facebook.com/TheHomemadeBroadcast, HMBRadio.com. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you shortly. Goodbye.